Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We thank God for another day. This morning, I'm speaking on the topic, The Coming King, Part 2. And last week, we feasted on Part 1, so I'm taking Part 2 this morning. And the passage we've just read or heard is actually telling us that a king is coming. But are you prepared? How prepared are you to receive the king? The world has reached a stage where things changes. But in the time past, the world was in disarray. God has sent his servants, and human beings never change. Things never work out. So he decided to send his son, the king. Is your life disarray this morning? Are you facing some problem or challenges in your Christian journey? It's good to be prepared, because the Lord God Almighty loves us. We hear many people who actually cannot remember the day they were born, so they don't celebrate birthdays. Some do. Some cannot be sure. I am very much aware that in my country, Ghana, years ago when there was this population census, people went out asking when they were born, and they couldn't realize or remember when the date. So they were saying, oh, this is the time when we farm here, that was the time they were born. They used different landmarks or things to try to point when they were born. Does it mean they shouldn't celebrate their birthday? No. People argue today in this world if Jesus was really born on a Christmas day. People argue, different religious society tell us that God never married. Why would he have a son? All in attempt to derail the purpose of God. I know even in our generation, well-educated people, some people, and they have forgotten when their child was born. So, a bit of secret there, you may meet people from Ghana or Africa somewhere, they will tell you that, well, the date of birth on my birth certificate differs from the date that I'm born, because they later got to know, even though they have that document, but they later got to know that this is not correct. Recently in the Netherlands, an elderly man applied in the court wanting his date of birth shaved off, if that's the word, just to reduce it. Yes. So it means in our time today, people feel that this date is not correct, or they feel too old and wanted to cut their age down. Whatever might be the reason, they still celebrate their birthday. So anyone, I think, that on this earth who think that Jesus was not born on Christmas Day and yet has not given us any alternative, and that's for which reason does not celebrate Christmas, he's actually trying to derail God's cause. If there's no birth, there wouldn't be death. If there's no death, there will not be any resurrection. If there's no resurrection, it means our sins are not forgiven. So we are still living in sin. It means Christ was not crucified. If Christ wasn't crucified, we're still living in sin and curses. So this morning, as we continue looking, we want to convince ourselves that what we just read, a king has been born. And if we are prepared, what is the reason for the king's coming? So, if you look back to Luke 1, 32, 33, which we read last week. First of all, if we talk about the coming king, two things come to mind. He's coming the second time when he will come and reign. And then the second one is birth. So the coming king, that title alone brings to my mind the reign of the coming king, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ, and then his birth. And when we read this, Luke 1, 32, 33, two key words can also be identified there, throne and then kingdom. It's also pinpointed that it means there is a ruling or an authority or kingship. So are you prepared for this king? Are you ready, and do you want to know much about this king? So this verse that we've read is telling us that we should be aware that a king will be born, and is actually outlined what the coming king will look like, or the means through which the coming king will be. So who is this coming king? Number one, the promisee, Mary, to whom the annunciation has been made, received the message, and because it was to her, she was carrying the coming king. So there's nowhere else to look but to look to Mary, who is carrying the coming king. It means the coming king will not come from another angle but just through Mary. That is the direction to look. Number two, this coming king, because it's a king, when the mother visited Elizabeth, Elizabeth declared that the child in her womb lived. That is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. You know, we are all seated here now. If a king or Prince Charles or the queen should enter this place, we will all do what? Rise up. The fact that he's a king shows that even an unborn child in the womb recognize that presence of the king. So nowhere else to look but to look towards that woman carrying that presence of God. So in verse 42 to 45, Mary declared that the child in her womb lived. And Mary herself, Elizabeth declared that. Number three, in Micah 5:2, Prophet Micah declared what the coming king will look like. He prophesied to us that there is going to be a king. So a king can be seen through Micah 5:2. And in Matthew chapter 2, the verse 2, the Bible says that the Magi who visited Jesus at his birth, they visited him as a king. And remember, one of the gifts they gave was gold. Gold is a symbol of kingship. Meaning, don't look anywhere else for this coming king, but look where the Magi look. Even they had the revelation. They knew that a king would be born, yet Herod, they don't know. The earthly king ruling at that time did not know, but the Magi recognized him as a king and traveled from far east so that they can come and worship the king. That's the format we're looking at, that a king will be born. And Pilate in John 19:19 also declared and accorded him the right title that Jesus is a king. That was during Jesus' persecution, and then when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate wanted him to defend himself. Another prophet, Zechariah, also revealed him in Zechariah 9, the verse 9, as a king. And he said, rejoice for your coming king. The king is coming. If your king is visiting you, you wouldn't be sad, because you are expecting that when he comes, he will definitely come with a good news. He is coming to you for a purpose, for a reason. So when he's coming and you hear the knock at the door, or someone tells you that your king is on the way, the preparation will be different. What preparation are you making this Christmas to receive the coming king? What preparation are you making so that when even he comes to reign as a king, you'll be able to welcome him? This prophet has identified him. One of his disciples, Nathanael, boldly declared that Jesus is the king. Till today, in any court, a crown witness is someone who saw or have experienced what the matter is about. This Nathanael had been with Jesus. And for him to tell us this morning that Jesus is the king, we better believe him. Meaning, Jesus is the king to expect. Not only that, in John chapter 18, the verse 36, which I'll quickly read, Jesus himself declares that he's a king. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would have fought to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is from another place." Human being did not make Jesus king. You cannot make him king. It is not now that we are going to enthrone him as king. Heaven has already ordained him and sent him forth as a king. These are the very words from himself. So Jesus is telling us this morning that he is a king. And that his kingdom is not from men, it's from heaven. So no one can erase it. And this kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. So he is a king. He is a coming king we are talking about this morning. We don't need to look anywhere else because he is the king ordained by God. He is the king who came for a purpose and for a reason. Someone may say Jesus is Messiah, fine. But you know, if I want to use Pastor Peter as one of the examples, he is a reverend minister and he's a dad as well. So if we take his pastoral aspect to look at, we are looking at different things. So also when we take him as a father, we look at parenting. This morning, we are taking only one aspect of Jesus as a king. And this means we are looking at him as a king. Moses said of him that, "A prophet the Lord your God shall give unto you like unto me. Him shall you hear, and anyone that will not hear him shall be cut off." So Jesus is the king that you and I need to hear, need to listen to. If we look anywhere thinking we want to please God in heaven, then we'll be cut off. Because we are not looking for the king who God himself has sent for his own purpose and for the reason. Why or what is the reason for his coming? Much as we know, kings defend their people. So Jesus came as a king to defend us. In those days, kings, if you read the Old Testament, king goes to war so that they can fight to take a territory or take what belongs to them so that other people wouldn't take it. Kings bring order. So if in my life, or in your life, there is disorder activities which does not please God, this is why God is sending Jesus as a king, to help order things that ought to be. Remember in Matthew 3, the verse 13 to 17, when Jesus was baptized, the voice boomed from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Prior to his birth, until his birth, and Jesus' childhood, God never spoke. We heard prophecy, angels ministered, but the first time God spoke concerning his son was when he was baptized. Meaning, God himself has confirmed Jesus as the one who will lead the way. So Jesus came as a king to show us the way to the Father. We might be living anyhow, but that kind of life, that kind of character, we exhibit pleases our Creator. No, this is why he sent his son, the king, Jesus, to lead the way. So the king came to show the way. The king came so as to reconcile us to God the Father. In Isaiah 59, the verse 1 and 2, the Bible said that the Lord's hand is not shortened, neither his ear heaven, that when we call, we can't hear him. But it is our iniquity that have separated us. Sin separated us from God the Creator. So we cannot cry to him, Abba Father, any longer, and he will hear us. How do you resolve that? When two people have an issue and they can never reconcile, they need a third party to help them resolve the issue. Jesus came to resolve the issue. He is a king who came to reconcile us to our Creator. This is why you and I can now cry, Abba, Father. This is why the coming king came. He came to protect the realm. Satan is ruthlessly doing things, changing others, photocopying, or things that God has created. So many times as Christians, we see things and we think it is God who is in charge. But he, Satan, is rather in charge. And what this means is that if the King of Glory does not come to restore the lost glory which we lost in the Garden of Eden, we will still be without glory. We lost the glory in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. We lost the glory when we started growing up as human beings and then we sinned. Because Romans chapter 3, the verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So God's glory that he put on us during creation was lost. But this king came to restore the glory to us. That is why he came. Are you prepared to accept in this time? Are you getting ready to celebrate his birth? Whatever people say, whether he was born on Christmas Day or not, what is your view? What are you doing now? Are you going to rejoice this Christmas because this king is bringing glory back to you? The king came and left a legacy. And he wants us to follow. Because we don't know how God wants us to live. We don't know how to relate to God. This is why when he came, he left a legacy. So in Matthew chapter 28, the verse 18 to 20, he gave us that authority after stripping Satan off of the power. And he said, "Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you to the end of the world." Brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus has left for us that we should take hold of. This morning, Pastor was, don't know which word to use it, dedicate his book. And the book is about discipleship. If you are not Jesus' disciple, then you are not following the legacy the king brought to us. When he came, he made disciples. Even from the very beginning, because even the first miracle he did in Canaan, the Bible says after that miracle, his disciples believed in him. It means from the word go, Jesus has some disciples. Are you his disciples? If you are his disciple, you do the things that he did. So may I encourage and urge you that if you are here this morning and you are not baptized by immersion in Christ, you are not fully Jesus' disciple. Because himself traveled from Galilee to Jordan, about 16 miles to be baptized. Salvation is a package. Don't take some and leave the rest. Take all. He came to leave a legacy. He doesn't need to be baptized, but he came to identify himself. John tried to forbid him, but he said, let it be so for now, for it fulfills all righteousness. If we are not baptized yet, how can we talk about righteousness? Galatians 3:27 says, when we are baptized in Christ, we put on Christ as garment. Therefore, if you are a believer, you are a Christian following Jesus, and you are reluctant to be baptized in water, may I say, you are withholding something precious. Singing, dancing does not cover you. But it is when you are baptized by immersion in Christ, that's why we are, when we are protected. Why is the need for Jesus to come or the king to come? Because we might want to throw in the towel. This life, Christian life, is full of challenges. In Acts 14:22, Paul says, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of heaven. So the journey in Christianity, there are challenges that are hurdles to jump. The tricky way is that you see somebody who is not a Christian who will offend you, so he's an unbeliever. But in the church of God, the very person who will step on your toe and you'll be hurt is the same Christian. When you are able to take it, this is where you know that you are Jesus' disciple. Otherwise, you feel that it's too much. The way this church do things, the way people talk about you in the church, you want to give up. You prefer to be in the world. You prefer to be in the house. Or, after becoming a believer, things begin to fall away. Things begin to fall apart. Your life here and there. Health challenges, finance, losing friends. And you said, no, if this is a Christianity, I think I better throw in the towel and give up. You do not need to give up. Because a coming king who is coming to you in this Christmas, he is willing and ready to help you amend your ways. Amend you to overcome the hurdles. Amend you to move forward. This is why you need him. Because the world is changing and deception is on the increase. Don't forget, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was telling his disciples about the signs of his second coming. And the first one he mentioned, he said, watch ye therefore that you do not be deceived. So deception is the first thing Jesus mentioned. You and I can witness many deceptions now. We have heard in the month past, in places, people coming up claiming they are the Christ. We have heard many fake miracles, fake preachers, fake Christians. We believe them and trust things into their hands. Then they dish us. Deception is on the increase. Therefore, we need this coming king to come and revive us. Otherwise, we cannot continue. Sometimes, because of unbelief, you and I knew that John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus. But when the challenges of life set in and he was in prison, someone may say it's unbelief or the other, but what was the question Jesus, John the Baptist sent out? He sent people out to go and ask if he is the Christ. He is the very person who baptized him. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't matter how long you are in Christ. It doesn't matter how many times you come to church on each Sunday. Issues in life may come. Challenges may come. Troubles may come. Affliction may come. Persecution may come your way. And the easiest way is to try to up, because you didn't believe the words of the scripture anymore, because they may turn something else to you. But I want to encourage you this morning that when the king came, he faced similar things. Jesus was persecuted, even by his own people. Bible says that even in his hometown, he could not do more miracles because of lack of faith. People call him names, Beelzebul and all that. Are they calling you names in your neighborhood, in your school, in your workplace? Yes, this is the master you are following. If he is your king and you want to follow him, you go through the same. But endure, persevere, hold on to it, because the king is with you. He will fight for you. He has not left you, so his glory remains with you. Abide in him. He is spoken of, described, revealed, so that you and I will not miss him. Many people miss him when he came. This Christmas, some people will be missing him because they have given up. They will turn away. What are you thinking about? Do you want to miss him? Jesus is coming again. So may I encourage you what to do? Hold on to your faith. What you believe at the initial stage, hold on to it. Jesus has not changed. He will never change. He is not going to change because the world is changing. He's not going to change because a Christian somewhere has disappointed another. He's not going to change because a believer somewhere has backslided. We need to change. People have changed their shoes, dresses, buildings, repainted it. But long before you and I were born, the Bible is the same. It has never changed. The words of Jesus remains the same. Let's hold on to it. Let's continue to follow his legacy. Let's hold on to things and believing that he's coming again. Because in Revelation, the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, three times he said he's coming soon. The king is coming soon. Why will he be coming again? He'll be coming to judge the world. While will he come? He will come with rewards. He is also the judge. According to Acts 17, 30, 31. He says, days of ignorance God has overlooked, but now command men everywhere to change, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Beloved brothers and sisters, God is going to judge the world through one man. Who is this coming king? How much are you ready or prepared for? May this Christmas turn things around for you. May you decide that no matter whatever is happening, come what may, like the woman with the issue of blood, she was determined that no matter the crowd, people may be trudging him, people may be pushing him here and there, but her purpose is that she's only going to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. This world will one day come to an end. It is only when we persevere, when we hold on to Jesus' garment, when we believe that this king has come to change things in our life, when we trust that he will come again and put us in a better place. Because he has promised. He said, in my father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So the coming king has come. Let's celebrate him now. Celebrate Jesus because he has come to do us good. Celebrate Jesus because he's a deliverer. Celebrate Jesus because he has brought salvation to us. Celebrate Jesus because he has reconciled us to his Father. Celebrate him because when he comes, he will take us to where he is. May the Lord Almighty give us grace enough so that we can strengthen one another, keeping one another awake so that we can reach in safety. God bless you in Jesus' name.